Welcome to week six, Living from the Inside Out. And this one, according to Michael's video, is about creating results. And this one is I think, one of my favourite subjects. Because I used to be the sort of person that was so frightened of getting it wrong. I used to be really, really attached to every outcome, whether it was at school or whether it was at college or whether it was at work. I always used to have so much investment in how things turned out, because I thought that that was where my happiness was coming from. And it created a lot of tension in me, and it created a lot of tension in my relationships, and it wasn't a really very good way of living life. And I didn't know there was another way until I came to the principles. But I have to say that I remember some years ago, probably about 10 years ago, when my son was about 9, I suppose. And I remember my wife and my son having a conversation one night. He came home from school really, really upset and concerned about the fact that he didn't understand this particular maths formula, I think it was. And he tried and tried and tried all day at school, and then he'd been given homework with questions about a particular formula, and he knew that he'd have to go back to school the following day having done the homework. And he was so afraid of not being able to understand it and being embarrassed in front of the class and all that sort of stuff. And I really related to that, because that's how I felt about most things, about most tasks that I had to do in life. I had to be competent. I had to be seen to be doing them right. I had to be seen to being to be able to understand them. So I remember Sam was getting really tearful and really quite tense about this, and I remember what my wife did, and this was a long time before I heard anything about the principles, but she instinctively sat him down and she said to him, look, you know, we're gonna get this sorted out, but what I want us to do now is I just want us to have fun with it. Let's have a play. Let's just see, you know, just see what sort of games we can play out of this. And over a period of about, I guess, probably about half an hour, he settled down. And I was in the other room, and I could hear laughing. I could hear really, he got really engaged with it. And I suppose after a couple of hours, he came running into me, and he was saying, I've got it. I know how to do it. And when I hear Michael's video, it always reminds me, it struck me then, and I understand why now, but it struck me then that I realized that most of my life I was so serious about things that seemed to be so significant, and I could not ever remember having fun with anything, really. If it was a game of football, I had to win, and if I didn't win, I would be upset, you know. And if I was at work and I was in a sales conversation, if I didn't win the order at the end, that was a disaster for me, and I would make meaning of that, I'd make significance of it, and So next time I went out to a sales meeting, I'd have that in my head. I'd have that as a dialogue in my head as I was going through the conversation. So for me, when Michael talked about full out and fearless, it's proved absolutely true for me. I have, you know, over the last 3 years since I did Living From the Inside Out, and the more conversations I had, and the deeper I've gone into the principles, the more I've realized that whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. You know, in my life, I look back and I see whatever's happened in my life, actually, I've been okay. So it was a real revelation to me to have the sense that I could have a conversation like the one we're having now without having to be competent, without having to have done lots and lots of research, and without having to make sure that everything is as it should be. And the more I've got used to that sense of play and fun, and the more relaxed I've showed up in life, the better at it I've been, the more free I've been, the more I've got out of the conversations, the more I've got out of playing games. I was thinking the other day, my dad taught me to play chess, and I wasn't really very good. And every time I played chess, I lost badly for a long, long time. And I was doing an intensive a few months ago with a client of mine, and he said, I've got this really new cool chessboard, and I think we ought to try it out, because I haven't played in a long time, but I used to be really, really good. And I remember thinking that actually I really fancy having a game of chess, not because I want to win or lose. I just really want to do it for the fun of doing it. Now, that might sound obvious to everybody here, but to me, it was a revelation, because there was a time when I would have refused to do it, because I would have had so much on the outcome. I would have had so much on having to win or having to be seen to be good at it. And that was an example of how far I think my understanding has come, and how much more easily my life flows now, because I don't have anything near as much on the outcome as I used to, and life is just so much easier because of it, and I'm better at it. I'm if I don't have that investment in the outcome, I just play so much freer, so much easier. And I don't mind looking like an idiot, which happens quite often. But it's just so much more enjoyable. And I do have much better results. So this particular video has been brilliant for me. And I would love to hear what Maureen's got to say on it. Hello. Can you hear me, Mo?
Yes. Yep. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I don't know if some of y'all got on the call. I was on for a few minutes. My daughter just had a baby about 2 hours ago. So I'm sitting in the hospital parking lot, and my computer wasn't working too well out here with my internet reception. So I got on the phone, so I apologize. But and I just noticed, sitting here looking at Steph, that I'm feeling a little shaky. And I don't know if it's from, I don't know if you've ever been in a wreck and everybody's calm, and then afterwards you get those little shakes a little bit, I guess it's adrenaline shakes. I don't know what that is. But so I am a little shaky. But the other night, Actually, before I watched Michael's video, it was Sunday night. I came home and my husband was taking a nap, so I watched a movie. And actually, I watched the new Ghostbusters, which is normally not any kind of movie I would want to watch. But I just kind of wanted something not serious, but not too, you know, too violent either. But so I watched the Ghostbusters. Well, at the end of the movie, the music was kind of that little tune, you know, it was a little catchy tune. So I noticed I got up and started dancing. And I'm dancing around the room, and another good song came on. I just started dancing. Well, I do not dance. I have never danced. My whole life, I was always told you have no rhythm. So because somebody told me that a long time ago, I would never dance. All right? So my husband got up, and he walked in the room while he saw me dancing. And he says, I didn't think you knew how to dance. And I said, well, I didn't think I did either. I said, but this feels pretty good. And I was just dancing all around the room and didn't care that he had even entered the room. And I just continued the dance. Normally, I would have quit dancing because I would have been embarrassed. But... and I thought about that even when I got through dancing, because he just laughed and he says, you know, you're pretty good at this. You know, he goes, you're really good. So he's really egging me on to dance. So I'm dancing and I thought about it like, wow, just even knowing what we know about the principles made it even easier for me to release myself to dance. Okay. I know this sounds corny, but so then I went in there about 30 minutes later and listened to Michael's the recording, and I thought, well, that's kind of how I felt when I was dancing. Just really, I had nothing on it and didn't care what anybody thought. And but as I listened to Michael's video, and he was talking about playing with the house's money, you know, no matter what, you end up with the same thing, right? And I thought, well, Steph and I are kind of playing with the house's money, doing this Living from the Inside Out program. There's so much in it for me, for Steph, for y'all. I hope that y'all are able to see something or feel something. But even if you don't, it's still okay. Because I know just in me, just us being on the show and hearing what y'all share also, that it's taken me, I'm seeing things differently. And really, playing with the house's money is life itself anyway. We all show up the same. And when we leave, we're all going to leave with the same as what we came in with. And so all the stuff in between is just noise, or it can be enjoyment, it can be an adventure, it can be whatever you want it to be. But at the end, we're all still exactly the same. And that's kind of the way I took what Michael was talking about, the playing with the house's money. And again, it kind of brought me back into another little thing. The first time I did Supercoach when we were in L.A., when I left there, that's the first time I really heard the principles, even though I read the book, but I didn't really know what Michael was talking about, Living from the Inside Out. And I still wasn't quite sure what he was talking about, but I just knew I felt different. I felt quieter, right? So I leave L.A., I get to the airport, and this is really one of the first times I've ever traveled by myself without my children or somebody telling me what to do. So I get to LA, which is a pretty big airport for me, and the guy tells me to go to gate such and such up the escalators. Well, all I can see is a crowd of people everywhere. People were lined up everywhere. It was a holiday weekend. And I just looked at him. I said, I just don't understand where you're telling me to go. And he says, lady, go up the escalator, the gate number, such and such. I said, but I just don't understand. And finally he says, now this is the guy the baggage guy on the outside of the airport. And he said, lady, I'll just take you up there. So he takes me up the escalator, around the stairs, around everyone in line. Takes me up to, I'm like the fifth person in line. He says, you see that guy right there? He's going to check your ticket. You stand right here, and then he'll tell you where to go from here. I said, okay, thank you. So I get checked in, and even the guy at the ticket counter, I thought, wow, I thought he was being a little rude to people. Like he was just kind of checking them, but nobody, there was really no conversation, right? It was just like real mechanical. And so I get up there and he takes my ticket and he looks at my ID, looks at my ticket, and he looks at me, he goes, you're going to Georgia? And I said, well, yeah, that's where I live. He goes, you live in Georgia? And I said, yeah. And he said it like three or four times. And I'm thinking, well, it's a plane. Planes fly out of here every day to Georgia, to Atlanta. You know, it's not a big deal, right? That's what I'm thinking. And the guy was very nice to me. So I get my ticket. I go on through the gate. I get to the gate, and I'm looking for a snack, right? And I'm just standing there looking for, like, a bottle of water, some crackers. And this guy comes up to me, and he says, excuse me, he says, but you're glowing. And I'm thinking, I said, what? He goes, you're glowing. And then he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I can't believe I said that to you. So it ends up, long story short, he's coming back. He's a sports person. He was coming back from Australia. He had just proposed to his fiance. So he starts telling me all this, right? And he wants to know what I'm doing in LA. And I'm thinking, wow. Well, at first, see, I'm thinking, oh, well, this did something to me that people can see, right? This super coach, these three principles. But now, that's not the way I see that. Because even when I hear y'all on the call, and even like Sarah the other day, when Sarah was on the call, Sarah really didn't say much, but it was the feeling. You could see it, you could feel her. And it's like when Rex was talking about when he went for that walk, and I think Rex, sorry if I'm wrong, you were up on a hill or something, and you had that feeling. You know, everybody, we kind of all tapped into that, at least I did. And so from what I'm taking is, oh, he was in that space. So when we're in that space, we're able to see it in others. And when we're out, of course, then we all we see is the out stuff. But when we're in, we can all see it. We can all feel it. We're all the same. I don't know if that makes sense, but it was kind of like, it just really goes back to really taking, to just being. And really just not having a whole lot on it. And when I start getting too serious about something, and even like just a minute ago, like my daughter was admitted to the hospital yesterday because her water level was low with the baby, right? And of course, you know, I had those past moments where my second child died during delivery. And that's actually what happened, was in delivery, the baby died. And so some of those fears would creep up in me, but then I'd also go, it'll be okay. No matter what the outcome of this is, we'll all be okay. She'll be okay. I'm okay. We're all okay. And so, of course, you know, you want the best, but I even knew, even if it wasn't the best, we would all be okay. That's kind of where I'm at right now. That we're just, when life gets too serious, just kind of step back and just know we're all okay. And I guess that's all I can say, Steph.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Maureen. That's And what you were just talking about there, about the feeling and about conversations that we've had, and that, you know, when you were talking about the conversation with Rex and the silence that came as a part of that. For me, it feels like there's a moment in that feeling where we go beyond who we think we are. We go beyond our ego, and I get a sense that there's a moment where we feel bigger. There's something bigger, and we're a part of it, and that brings such peace and such quiet and
yeah. That's... Now I want to say maybe it was it Thomas the other day who asked for the magic. Where's the magic? Or I'm waiting on the magic. And the magic is just seeing it everywhere. The magic is just when you see it in everything. When you see it in your paper cup that holds your coffee, and you think about the person who even created it, and the tree. And I mean, it's just when you see it, and when you turn the water on, that we have clean water. There's just, the magic is in anything, everything. It's when you start seeing it in everything, it just, you start noticing it, it just makes it all so much better. And so when you do get lost and we get off track a little bit, it's so much quicker to come back, because you just see it in you start seeing the little magic in everything.
Yeah. Thank you, Maureen. Wow. Okay. So, we'd like to turn this over to you guys now. And, let's hear what comments you've got, what you're noticing. If there's anything you're seeing. We've got a couple of raised hands by the looks of it, Lynn. Can we call on them?
Yeah, who would you like to call for first, Dave? Winston said his hand up for a while, so I'll go ahead and bring Winston on. Winston, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. It was getting really tired. Not. Love that laugh. This week's topic, results, has gotten near and dear to my heart. You know, I think with all of this, at least for me, first understanding intellectually is probably the easier aspect, if you will. And then being able to apply is where the real joy comes from, okay? But how do we apply all of this and getting results and results to the financial aspects of our lives, to money? Which is such a critical, piece to the life that we've created, to this illusion that we're loving.
Hear me?
Sorry, do you want to talk, Mike?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, can do. Yeah.
Okay. Is that Simon?
That's Winston.
Who was speaking? But Winston. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't hear who y'all said it was at first. Okay. Winston, I was thinking about that the other day too. And for me, like I say, I sell real estate. Sometimes I even forget I'm selling real estate. Because, and I have, and my business is more now than it has ever been. All right. Since I've started the principles, and I even did the apprenticeship with Michael last year, all that heavy, flying around and having to do this and that and be on so many calls, I thought, oh, this is going to hurt my business. I almost forget I'm selling real estate. And the real estate part, the business part, because I'm enjoying life and I'm seeing people differently and I'm just engaging with people on a different level, that is just flowing up. I'm making more money than I've ever made in real estate. And sometimes I'm like, well, I don't even remember it being, it's so easy. It's coming so easily now. And it probably with your, with work, I would say with anything that I'm trying to do, create a meal or something, there's just not so much stress on the outcome. And just trying to enjoy the moment and enjoying other things, that they, it all starts just flowing together. And that's sometimes when I say we take things so serious when we try really hard and I think I have to study and I have to do this and I have to do it just like that, or I'm not, or I'm going to be a loser, or I'm not going to be right. I've got to get this ad right. I just go with it now and I don't get caught up on it. Now I might be a good ad this month, next month might not be as good, but I don't worry about it. And the results for me, they just keep coming and coming. And I mean, I've already surpassed this year what I did last year. You know, so I mean, I'm, and I don't even hardly even know I'm working anymore, because it doesn't feel like work anymore. It's just because I'm looking and engaging with people on a different level. So with me, it's clients, you know, selling houses to them, listing their homes. And when they get stressed out, trying to keep everybody evened out, right? And getting them where they're not so bothered, not so wrapped up in the seriousness of the outcome. The outcome is they do need their house sold, yes. But it, they all also know now it'll all come when it's ready, when it's in due time. And we don't, and when they don't have the anxiety on it, things for that flows through them also.
For those of us,
that's what I see with the results.
Yeah. For those of us who struggle with the financial results in trying to get to where we really believe that we should be, want to be, you know, how do we make that transition, that you know, I understand what you're saying, believe what you're saying. And it's, a lot of it is also what I hear you saying is, you know, that you just, you're just able to truly live in that space, which is where we all want to be. We admire you.
Yeah.
But how do we, you know, I had a long conversation, with one of my best friends this morning, and, you know, we're talking about business development and, you know, people and referrals and all of the people that we work with, that we talk to, you know, and how difficult it seems to get across the finish line. I mean, everybody loves you, but nobody wants to love you to the point where they're willing to do business with you. You know, and then those pressures start adding up, you know. So, and I know I'm not alone. You know, it's also one of the things that I coach, you know, other people, you know, towards. Does that make sense? Am I getting there with this question?
Winston, I hear you. And I think, you know, I think the big difference that's what's the, in my life now is that, I have a different relationship to success. I have a different relationship to achieving goals. I have a different relationship to financial security. In as much as, so when I first decided I wanted to do coaching, I had a very fixed idea of how my business should look and what niche markets I was going to aim for, how much money I was going to earn. And this all came from my background in corporate, where I used to spend a huge amount of time playing with spreadsheets and forecasting and making sure that I knew all the numbers. And then something happened very early on, after living from the inside out, and where I realized that what I was doing, I was using the three principles, and I'm not suggesting this is what you're doing, I'm just telling you my story, but I was using the three principles as a way of creating a business for me, because I believe that I need to have a certain kind of lifestyle and a certain kind of structure to my life, and if I didn't have that, then I would have failed in some way. So as part of the journey, what I began to see was actually I would be okay, even if I was financially ruined. And at one point that did actually look very likely. So there was somewhere along the line, I saw that my value to the world was to be of service to people rather than to be in service of me creating a business so that I could be financially secure. And that realization changed everything for me, because it meant that, as we were talking about earlier, I wasn't going into meetings with the intention of taking an order or getting somebody to sign me up. I was going into meetings with an absolute curiosity about how that person was seeing the world, and with an absolute faith that I was being guided and in being able to help those people. So what happened in a nutshell with me was that I had a design business which was going pretty well. I had partners. And then as soon as I had a coaching business for a short amount of time, which wasn't doing so well. And then as soon as I had this realization about service and about not needing to have, desperately needing to have an outcome, it gave me freedom of mind. It allowed me to show up to everybody that I showed up to, and I had conversations that were so beautiful and so deep and so lasting with people then that I had so many opportunities. I had so many opportunities given to me, and in the time since that, I had to give up my design business because, as a result of these conversations, as a result of my freedom of mind, as a result of me being of service, I've spent best part of 6 months out of the country this year, just traveling around the world talking about this stuff. And I have a direction that I want to look in. There are people that I like to work with, but I don't have a really fixed idea of how things should be. And it seems to me that the more freedom of mind I have around what appears to be my business and who appears to be my clients, the more possibilities, just I see so many more possibilities out of the conversations that I have. So to answer your question, it's my relationship to why I was doing it in the first place has changed. My relationship to my thinking has changed. And what appears to be now is that all I have is conversations. All I have is conversations, and everything flows from that. It's so simple. And that's where the relationships come from, is the conversations. That's a very long answer to quite a short question. But does that begin to make sense, Winston?
Yes, that's a great answer. Thank you very much. Okay. Not long, just a good answer.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So who have we got next, Lynn? I'm going to have to ask you to, because I can't see the board.
All right. Okay. well, let's go for next on our list, Sean.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Sean.
Hi.
Hey, Sean.
Right. It was really strange because after watching the video, I kind of, I almost had a little bit of something. I thought, I'd like to mention that. But then once we actually started getting on the call, it was the exact same thing that you mentioned, Steph, about with your son. I had one of those situations this morning with my son, who's 10. So again, sort of same age range with his maths homework. And it was one of those things where he was kind of he'd done some of the questions last night before I got home from work with his mum, and of course I was trying to work through stuff with him this morning, and I was checking some of his answers, and I was like, well, why have you put that answer? And I could see him looking at me, well, what do you mean? I said, well, why have you put that answer to the question? He went, because mummy told me that was what the right answer was. I was like, okay, yes, that's fair enough. But how did you get to the answer? And he went, and I knew that he didn't know, you know. So of course I kind of I had the conversation with him, and then they said, you know, I'm not bothered whether you get it right or wrong, but I want you to understand how you actually arrived at the answer that you've got, whether it's right, wrong, or what have you. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't get it. He said, yeah, but if my teacher marks it wrong, it's wrong. I said, well, yeah, it might be, but at least that way we'll know that that's something that we can work on as a process, and that we can check your understanding and so on. And of course, it kind of became about, right, okay, well, let's get so much done before school and so on. And some of the questions then it almost linked back to the stuff that you folks were talking about last week in terms of recognising your feeling of knowing when you're caught up in stuff. And for me, I could feel my frustration building, because I was looking at these questions and thinking, that's so easy, why can't he see it? I'm like, what do you do with that? You know, I think it was something like changing fractions to decimals or something. I'm like, right, what do you do? What's the system? And he was just looking at me blankly, and I could tell he just didn't get it. And of course, I knew the system, and I'm like, come on, Dylan, it's that easy. It's easy. But of course, to him, it wasn't. He didn't get it. And I thought, well, it's no good me knowing it. If he doesn't know it, then, and I can't force him to know it. It's that realization that sort of he's got to come up with. And of course, it was just sort of dead funny that when you started talking about that, I'm not telling you, you know, I've had that exact thing this morning in terms of where it is, you know, in terms of the homework thing. I mean, another thing that kind of flipped up when Maureen was talking as well, I like music. I suppose everyone does to some extent in my life, but a lot of the time I kind of listen to stuff, and I used to listen probably about 10, 15 years ago to a lot of Crowded House, and sort of really like them as a band and what kind of stuff, I always kind of look at lyrics, and the other day I was on Spotify, and I was just sort of trawling through stuff, and I found one of the albums that I used to have on CD years ago. So of course you start playing it, and I'm sat there with my headphones on, and I'm singing out certain lines that, you know, just kind of throw away. And of course my wife sat there trying to watch television, and my head's bobbing away, and then this odd line comes out, and she's like, what are you listening to? You shut up. And again, it was kind of like Mom was talking about the just dancing, sort of spontaneously dancing. I just caught myself listening to these songs with a big grin on my face, because I was thinking, oh, God, I remember this, and it's a really good song. And it was just one of those moments where I kind of went, oh, yeah, you know, I used to really like this, and I've not listened to it for ages. And yeah, just that whole thing of, and then that got me thinking about, well, it's not the song causing me to be happy, because that would be outside in. And of course, they, you know, linking in with it, I'm thinking, so what, there must be something in it. And of course, you start cheering over then, and you know, it's yeah. But I just thought it was dead interesting, the kind of that stuff, the synchronicity, yeah. I suppose. Isn't it?
Yeah. But to me, that, you know, the music is another way for me of getting in the feeling, and I love that kind of getting engaged and getting passionate about it and losing yourself in it. That's another way for me. A Crowded House is one of my favourite bands as well. Thanks, Sean. That's brilliant.
Thank you, Sean.
Right.
Who have we got next?
Lynn? Okay, next on my list is Mitchell. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, I'm...
Hey, Mitchell.
Hi there, Maureen. I'm was on the same, along the same lines as Winston, my concern. Because, you know, money in the bank is, it's very black or white, you know, and it's... and so you know your bottom line of how you're going. And so I guess my thoughts about it are... I certainly see the value of having the freedom to just be and not focus on the results. And so I can attempt to pretend as if and let go of the fact that I really need to make some money. So I'm working as a coach. I've just been certified through another academy, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I've signed up for a Supercoach Academy in 2017.
All right. Yay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that, and we'll be there. There's a lot of noise going on, isn't there? Is it just me that hears a lot of noise?
Is that with you, Maureen? Is that in your background?
No, I've muted Maureen. I think it might be you, Winston. Sorry, Mitchell. I think it has to, because you're the only one unmuted.
Okay.
No, I can still hear it. Who is unmuted? Right, you guys go ahead and I'll find out who
made the noise. So, anyhow, I get it in theory, and the bottom line is I get it in theory, and I can pretend as if. But in practice, the reality is, pardon my French, my ass is on the line, and I need to find, I'm actually looking for other work that I can have in the meantime, so that while I have the conversations with people to expand my business, my coaching business, I give myself more freedom and more space around it, so that I'm not so desperately needing to have you as my client. Hmm. So that's where I'm at with it. I really get the idea of playing with the house's money. And the other thing that sort of brings to me is the understanding and the appreciation that of this, that all is well, that there's this innate well-being and also an appreciation that I've always been taken care of. Things have always worked out for me. So there's that as well. And the reality is I need to go out and get some part-time work in the meantime so that I have the freedom and the spaciousness around my conversation to bring people in as clients. Mm.
So can I ask you a question, Mitchell?
Of course.
So the feeling of constriction around the subject of money and the fear that you have if you don't begin to have conversations and if you can't have a freedom when you're having the conversations, where do you think that feeling is coming from?
First thing that comes to mind is it comes from this place of scarcity.
Yeah. And so Do you feel in that feeling all the time, 24/7, or are there moments when you don't notice it?
Not in 24/7. There's moments when I don't notice it, but the moments have become fewer as my bank account is dwindling.
Yeah. Okay. So when I was talking about earlier, when I was talking about my relationship to money has changed, this might be a longer conversation than we got a chance to have here, but I began to see that my feelings of fear and insecurity about my bank balance weren't coming from my bank balance. They were coming from the thoughts that I was having about my bank balance. And there were times when I was happy. There was times when I was, you know, I wasn't focusing on that. That wasn't something that was in my experience because I wasn't thinking about it. And I suppose the biggest thing for me was to be able to see that. Eventually I saw that on a deeper level, and seeing that our experience of fear and insecurity and is coming entirely from my thinking in the moment. And I know, I hear what you're saying about the insecurity with the bank balance, because I was there for many, many, many years, and it would keep me up at night. But there's something about really seeing that experience you're having, because it's not coming from your bank balance, because it's coming from the thoughts that you're having in your head, it is possible to have a different experience. You think that it feels like the bank balance and the security or insecurity that's creating is fixed. And in the video, Michael talks about the variable. So the variable is actually realizing that we're creating that insecurity from our thinking. We're creating that experience of fear and scarcity and lack from what's going on in our head. It can't be the bank balance. So what I would suggest to you is, I would love to have a further conversation with you about this. Maybe we have a one-to-one at some point if you're up for it, and we can explore it. But for me, that was the thing that changed everything. That was the thing that changed my relationship with money. It was the thing that changed my, you know, sort of romantic relationships. There is the possibility that when you see where that fear is coming from, you can have it's possible that you can have another thought literally like that. And that's where the ease and the flow comes in. And when you feel that flow and the ease, that's where the conversations become lighter. That's where the freedom of mind comes in. That's what's on the table for us. That's what's on the table for us. That's exciting.
I get it. I love it. It's why I'm kind of drawn to this work. And yeah. I just honestly have a sticker on my desktop here that says, and it's a quote from Michael, and it says, "You don't have to think."
Yeah.
So I love that, and I love knowing that. And there's still a gap, right? There's still this gap between my experience and my knowledge, my knowing that piece of information.
Yeah. And that's what we're doing. Having this conversation, staying in the conversation, looking at how the principles impact our lives, looking at the implications. Having this conversation allows us to see it deeper. You talking about it allows you to see it deeper. The more you articulate it, the more you'll see, and the more you'll get a sense of what's on the table. because and that's how this works. I mean, there are some people that kind of get it like that. I wasn't one of them. It took me a while.
And so actually, there's some areas that I do get pretty instantly, but this one around finance and money, this one is a hard nut to crack.
It's a big blind spot for a lot of people, but keep in the conversation. If you want to have a chat about it,
I'd love to.
Somewhere else, then we'll do that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitchell.
Mo, I'll just unmute you. Have you got anything you want to add, honey?
Well, real quick to what Mitchell said too. Mitchell, I can remember years ago my husband gave me $30 a week for groceries. I mean, that's all we had. And I didn't have anything on it. I mean, I made that $30 work and we were still happy. I look back, I say, oh my gosh, how did I do that? But I think for me, the scarcity of money is I've been there, so I'm not so afraid of it. If it all goes away tomorrow, I know everything will still be okay. And I remember, I'm just giving you a few little insights I've had since you were talking, is I remember with real estate, one day I was going out in my driveway and I just stopped at the end of my driveway and started crying. And I said, I do not want to go to work. I don't want to see any more of these buyers and sellers. And it was just like, everybody's stressed out and mad at the world. And I didn't want to deal with anybody ever again. I just wanted to go back, read a book, and sit by myself in meditation, talk to dead people, whatever. I said, don't give me anybody alive to talk to. Right? And then, but something changed. And all of a sudden, I don't know when it happened, but then it was like, all of a sudden, I got to where, oh, I can't wait to go to work today and see who I'm going to meet or what conversation is going to come up. And I just looked at it differently. And when Michael says, the way I take it, when Michael says, you don't have to think about that, it means you don't have to think about it like that. And it's like, I have an assistant right now. And sometimes I was having problems with her for months because I felt like I was paying her way too much money, paying her three times what I could pay three people I was paying her. And to me, because I thought she was going to be this awesome assistant, right? And take me to different levels. Well, she's not. She doesn't do it. I shouldn't say that. She doesn't do it the way I thought she would. Okay, she makes lots of mistakes, which we all do, so that's not a big deal either. But I had problems with that for months, and it got where I didn't even want to go to work because I thought, how am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do? And then all of a sudden, now I look at her differently. She's human just like me. She makes lots of mistakes just like me. But in the big part of it, she loves her job. She loves working with me. She's trustworthy. I don't have to worry about her stealing. And she always shows up. And I thought, so now it was just the way I think of her now, and I look at her, that now I don't have a problem with overpaying. it doesn't seem like a problem to me anymore. And I'm like, you know, she's good. She's trying. I'm trying. She means well, and she's in it for all the right reasons, as so am I, for whatever I do. And so now I don't have those issues anymore. And now work became easier again. It didn't seem hard anymore. It was just the way I looked at it. I just looked at it differently. So sometimes when they say, don't think about that, it's the way you're thinking about it. Just needs to look at it a little differently. But it's hard. And I have a sticky note on my computer too, real quick. Yeah. All these things, Michael calls on me, right? And I have a sticky note that says, don't be fooled. He's tricking you again. Because it all comes back to the same thing. There's not really a problem. We just think there is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can remove yourself and try to step a little further back and look at your problem from another set of eyes inside of you, you'll see it differently.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you. And just to clarify, the quotation from Michael is not, it's not, you don't have to think about that. It's, you don't have to think that.
That's right. You don't have to think that.
Yeah. It's very powerful.
Yeah. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you, Mitchell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mitchell. Right, well, we're getting close on time, but I'm going to sneak Bob in under the wire. Bob, over to you.
Hello there. You hear me? Hello?
Hi, Bob. Michael. Yeah.
Hi, Bob. Luckily, mine is quite a brief one, which is just really from sort of Mitchell and Winston. I'm offering the proof that it is all in your thoughts, because I am at the moment lucky enough to be doing quite well. I've got a job that I should really enjoy and a reasonable salary. But I still manage to convince myself that it could all go wrong at any moment and that I have to really focus on things and do all sorts of stuff that probably isn't really necessary. So I'm coming at the same problem from a slightly different direction, which is how to let go of all that crap and get on with it.
When you say all that crap, Bob, what do you mean?
Well, the sort of underlying fear that something is going to go wrong, and that you know, even though money isn't a problem at the moment, there's always this fear that things will go wrong and you'll end up somewhere else, or that I guess there's a level of imposter syndrome as well, that somebody will spot that I'm really a fake and not doing it well, and these thoughts go around and around.
Mm. Yeah, Bob, my husband does the same thing. My husband comes from a family. They built a big family business, so they're he has a lot of money, but he has his fear is always of losing it. To the point sometimes he can't enjoy life because he always feels like he's not going to have enough. And I look at it like, are you kidding me? But I'm like, whatever. And so I'm just kind of like, because like before, I'm like, I had $30 for groceries. It doesn't bother me. It just is, you know. But he sometimes struggles with that also.
Yeah.
And all I can say is us together, he is shining a new light on it now. He's not so afraid as he used to be.
Yeah.
Steph, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's okay. I know we've not got a lot of time, but I think for me, there's a real comfort when I look back at my life and I see there has been some incredible highs and some unbelievably low lows, and I'm still here and I am healthy and I am happy and I'm happier than I've ever been. And I have a comfort in knowing, which will come to all of us, this is what is also on the table, is whatever happens, we're okay. Whatever happens, we're okay. And I believe that absolutely, totally. That is, you know, that is a mantra for me, if there was such a thing as a mantra that we should be talking about on a Three Principles conversation. Does that, it's you know, it's not. It's something that we all have to see for ourselves, I think, Bob. But just to give you a crumb of comfort here, that I'm guessing that you've had a similar situation. You can look back on your life and see all sorts of incredibly traumatic experiences that you've had, but you're still here and you're
indeed
still fine.
Yeah. I think it takes us neatly straight back to, I think, Winston opened his talk, which was I can understand that all intellectually. It's just getting to believe it as well that is the issue.
Yeah. But that's the adventure we're on. That's what we're doing. That's what we're, you know, that's where we're headed.
I'm in the right place.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, we stay in the conversation. We look towards the principles. We look in the direction of the principles whenever we get those feelings and a new thought is possible, a new experience of life is possible in any moment.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob. Well, I think we have unfortunately reached time. Simon, I am sorry that we haven't had a chance to get to you. You're first up next week, but why don't you post any questions or anything you want Maureen and Steph to kind of talk about? And same with everybody else. Please put it all on the Facebook group and the quite wonderful Maureen and Steph will, I'm sure, have wise words of wisdom to respond to you all.
Yeah.
Thank you everyone for being on the show today. This was wonderful. I'm not shaking anymore. My nerves have calmed down.
That's good. Yeah,
y'all
bless you all.
Back into that place. Thank you.
Bless
Love you y'all.
All. It's Talk been a beautiful, beautiful call today. Thank you so much.
I will unmute you all so you can all say goodbye.
Thanks a lot. See you later.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye everyone.
Bye.